Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host, and as promised, Rose Sweet here with us. Our number is 888-318-7884. Rose, the author of a whole bunch of books. You can find her at rosesweet.com, correct? I got that right?
It's hard Rose to Sweet? Remember, yeah.
And what's the latest book? I don't know if another one has come out since last we spoke.
The next one is coming out in the early spring, A Catholic Woman's Guide to Temperaments, one of my favorite topics.
Yes. The I know, phlegmatic and sanguine.
Keep going.
Okay, wait. Phlegmatic, sanguine,
melancholic.
Melancholic and...
Choleric.
Choleric?
Choleric.
Oh, phlegmatic, sanguine, choleric, and murderous?
Exactly. we'll talk about that on another show.
All right. Okay. It's good to have you here, Rose. I think a lot of people have trouble with what we're going to talk about today. I know that I have had trouble with it myself in a lot of life. Okay. So it does seem like to live on this earth, you have to develop, a little bit of space around you, a little bit of some boundaries with other people. There's things that you have to say no to. And Jesus says things like, if someone asks you to carry their bags for 1 mile, carry it for 2 miles, that kind of thing. So am I violating Jesus's teaching and my Christian faith when I set boundaries with other people?
That's the question for today, and a lot of people struggle with that because they falsely think that being a good Christian is suffering 100% of the time, and they don't stop and think past that, but we're going to help them with that today.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Okay. All right, so you're going to help me with setting boundaries or knowing what boundaries?
We're going to go way back to the Garden of Eden.
Oh, okay.
And when God
I've been trying so hard to get back there.
When God says, do not eat of that tree. If you eat of that, then this is going to happen. There was a big boundary.
And you're right.
God set boundaries for our safety. That's what boundaries are about. But I want to start out with a story. I think that maybe a lot of people will
relate to this. Okay. I got to give out the number again.
Yes.
Because I said it really fast before, and we want callers for Rose.
Yes.
If you've got a question about this topic, if you got a question about setting boundaries, if you got a question about how doing that either conflicts in some cases or does not conflict with Christian faith, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. And now a story from Rose.
So many years ago, I was a young mom. I had an adopted daughter, and we were driving to Las Vegas for a wedding, a non-Catholic wedding. Well, we won't talk about that part of it, but we're in the desert, right, in the middle of nowhere. And I'm driving along, and it's hot, and the radio's going, and I smell nail polish. And I'm like, what? So I look over at my little 8-year-old, and she's got her little nail polish out, and she's doing her nails. And I said, honey, I'm still looking ahead and driving. I go, please put that away. It'll be a big mess in the car, okay? So you just assume that they obey, right? So a few minutes later, I still smell the nail polish. Mm-hmm. I look down. Now she's turned around, and she's like doing it to the side.
She's hiding from you.
Freeze. Okay, I've been reading all these self-help books. I've been listening to Dr. Dobson on the Christian radio, and I know boundaries are important. You have to train kids to be obedient because that's how they learn to obey God. All this is going through my mind in a split second. If you set a boundary, the consequence has to be swift and without emotion and appropriate to the situation. I go, swift, without emotion, appropriate. So looking straight ahead on the highway, I rolled her window down. And still looking ahead, I grabbed her nail polish and I threw it out into the desert. And
I just kept driving
like this. I was on a high. I was like,
did it.
You know what? I did not abdicate my authority.
No.
And if I learned over the years, I'll never forget that, the more we keep talking and explaining and rationalizing, we are training people that if they overstep their boundaries, they don't listen to us and don't obey.
Yeah. Right.
There is no pain. There's no consequence. They just have to listen to us yak. And they can do that.
Right. Right.
So it was the beginning of a long and beautiful relationship, because after that, when I said something, she listened and she obeyed.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing. If we set and enforce boundaries appropriately, we usually don't have to do it again. And it brings peace and harmony to the relationship.
Okay, so having a boundary, knowing the boundary, that's easy. It's the enforcing it. First of all, so her first time to Vegas, she's got half of her fingers with polish on them and half not.
Yes, and she'll never forget that.
She'll never go back to Vegas. Yeah, she probably felt terrible there. I mean, who wants to go with only some of your fingers polished? 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. So it's enforcing boundaries. But now we're talking about adults, though. I mean, boundaries with adults. If I grab people's nail polish and throw it out the window now.
Well, you might have to. Every situation is different. And that's why you have to know the person, know your position. Yeah. You know, if it was a total stranger's kid that did that, I wouldn't have the authority to do that. So you have to know where your authority lies.
Oh, yeah.
There's lots of good books written on boundaries, but today let me give you three things that I got a bunch of little things I brought today. But three facts are everybody knows how to set boundaries. Everybody already knows how to set boundaries. You're 2 years old and somebody takes your toy and you say no and you give me that back. We know how to protect ourselves and our goods.
Oh, yes. Okay? Yeah, right.
So don't do that. We know how to set boundaries, but then we don't know how to enforce them.
Right.
Because when you're little, you think the only way you can enforce it is to hit the other person.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the skills. Okay.
Right.
So we all know how to set boundaries. We don't want to enforce them. And it's because of two things. We're afraid and we're proud. Now, let me explain that.
Oh. Yeah, please do explain that.
If you don't want to force a boundary, somebody's violated your space, violated your dignity, violated your worth, and this happens in our broken world, you enjoy a certain level of peace with that relationship, or there are goods to that relationship that you don't want to lose. And so we think that if we set a boundary and enforce it, which might make the other person upset, rejected, or hurt, that we'll lose the relationship, we'll lose the peace.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, also, the relationship will become difficult, and that's hard work. So we want relationships to be easy with no hard work and no conflict.
That's what I want.
I know.
That's exactly what I want.
I've been talking to Missy a lot about you lately.
Okay. So, well, what's the pride part?
Okay. So now, I'm a life coach. I'm a Catholic life coach, and I talk to people all week long. And the number one problem I have is parents who have disrespectful children. Catholic parents with disrespectful Catholic children.
Oh.
And so here's the pride part. They're afraid to make the child unhappy. They're afraid of tantrums. They're afraid of looking bad. There's the pride. I'm a good mom. I never yell. I don't scream. I don't take things away. I don't throw nail polish out in the desert like Rose Sweet. I would never do that because
I think I saw that on the way to Vegas
one time.
There I
know.
Was a
okay.
little thing of polish sitting
I
out
am,
there.
And okay. I am a litter bug. I have to admit that.
It's still out there, Rose.
But the pride is I would never do that. I would never hurt my children like
oh,
that.
Oh, I see.
And I would never scream or yell. And I always keep the peace because that's who I am and that is good. So again, we're afraid of loss of goods in the relationship, and we're afraid of conflict, we're afraid of hard work, and we're also proud that we're not like all those other people.
Ah, that's interesting, Rose.
It's fascinating. But here's what I love about the Catholic answer to this. We go back to Scripture because God reveals the truth of who we are. We're made in His image,
mm-hmm.
and He set boundaries, and He enforced them. I mean, God zapped people. He said, you know what? You guys have been really bad. You're going to your room without dinner. Oh, no. You're going to have a flood and you're all going to be wiped out.
Right.
He wiped us out. He doesn't mess around when it comes to horrible sin.
And ask Lot's wife.
Well, exactly. If you look
salty
back.
Salty woman.
Okay, there it is. There's the boundary and the consequence. Do not look back, children. If you look back, something bad will happen. And if they don't trust the parents' authority, they will look back and something bad happens. Then we always go, oh, well, that was the God of the Old Testament. He was mean. But the new God, Jesus, He's really nice. And He's so nice. He loves us just the way we are. And He would never do the things that the old God of the Old Testament. It's like, no, we've had this on your show. He's the same person. He's,
right.
He's the same God. Jesus cursed the fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
When people came to try to make Him a king, He ran away from them. He says, no, I'm out of here.
Right.
He set up a boundary. You know, what else did he do? When Peter, he rebuked Peter.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about the temple, too.
Get out
of the temple.
That's a big thing.
The Gentiles need a place to pray. Get out.
Right. And we gloss over that because, well, Jesus was just having a bad day. Or they were really bad, those bad guys in the temple. But my little Rufus, who rolled his eyes at me and called me names and won't eat his breakfast, he's not like those guys. So I don't have a Christian right to get mad at Rufus.
Yeah.
But that's where it may have begun with the guys in the temple. Their moms and dads did not teach them to respect the Lord and obey the Lord.
Yeah.
And when we don't train our children in the way they should go and are afraid to lose our children's affection, that's another thing. The kids will be mad at me. They won't love me. That we abdicate our authority and we actually train our children to be disobedient and disrespectful.
Our number is 888-318-7884. If you're having these problems and you'd like to talk about it in a Catholic way, you're welcome to. Maybe trouble setting boundary with the kids, maybe with the spouse. We'll talk about that a little bit, will we?
Oh, yeah.
Setting boundaries with the spouse or somewhere else, you know, in all parts of our lives, we need to be clear about what the boundaries are. 888-318-7884, the number, if you'd like to get into that conversation, particularly if are among those of us Christians who are not sure where I'm setting a boundary now, or I'm doing something that is actually, inhospitable or contrary to the spirit of charity. If you're struggling with that distinction, 888-318-7884. Right back with more Rose Suite on Catholic Answers Live.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I get up in the morning, I turn the radio on, listen to the Mass, listen to the early shows. I transition to my automobile, I flip it over on my iPhone, then start listening to it on the web. And then when I get in the car, I actually listen to it all the way to work. When I get to work, I actually even listen to it online while I'm sitting at my desk. I just love EWTN.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our number 888-318-7884. We're talking about setting boundaries as a Christian with Rose Sweet, who, as she said, is a Catholic life counselor, but also a coach, but also a great author, a magnificent speaker, and a really good friend to us here at Catholic Answers. You know one way we know that? Because you come to our conference all the time.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Everybody, I love the conference. It's the best speakers, it's the best food, it's the best venue, the camaraderie is fabulous. The Holy Spirit is present, seriously, the whole time, and it's just, it's a wonder, it's the Catholic highlight of my year.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad to hear you say that, because we're doing it again this year.
I'm so glad.
Last year didn't feel right, not doing the conference.
No, it was weird.
What's the dates, Darren? September 23rd to 25th, is that right? September 23rd to 25th, right here in beautiful, sunny San Diego.
No, seriously, the speakers are fabulous. You can understand them. They're not too deeply theological that nobody can follow. I mean, and everybody who comes, people from all ages, all walks of life. It's just a beautiful, beautiful three-day event.
It is.
Yeah. I love it. Listen,
if you want to come, just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and find out about it, CatholicAnswersConference.com. We really do have a great time, and Rose being there is a big part of it. Do you square dance usually when Jimmy does the square dancing?
No, I'm in the bar having a martini. But I've seen it on YouTube. I'm telling everybody.
But you always have good friends there. Like there's a you always have people that you're hanging out with you've all just planned it. You're getting together for a drink after the last talk of the night.
That's the kind of event this is. People connect and there's community and there's communion, really a holy communion of people of like mind and like faith. It's beautiful.
Our number here again, 888-318-7884. Did you want to say more before we go to calls?
Yes, I want to say three things, please.
Okay,
thank you for asking.
Yes.
There's three reasons that we don't set and enforce
two
boundaries.
I can only let you have two. I'm learning to set boundaries now, so
I'm totally ignoring because I'm not afraid of you. You've trained me not to be afraid of you.
All right, you could have three. Go ahead.
Number one is ignorance of Scripture.
Okay.
And what did St. Jerome say? Ignorance of Scripture is
ignorance of Christ.
Exactly. And God, all of God, right?
Yeah.
So we have, in not getting deep in Scripture, we don't see the parts where God sets boundaries, where Jesus sets boundaries, where Jesus rebukes, where Jesus runs away from people, he chastises people. So we don't know the real Jesus. We've invented this nice Jesus. So get deep into Scripture. And number two, we are too attached to the goods of relationship. Attachment. And the saints always talk about inordinate attachment.
Mm-hmm.
Marriage is good. Parenting is good. Friendships are good. But when we're so attached and we're so afraid to say the truth because we'll make them mad or they'll run away or they'll make us feel bad, we're cowards. I used to be this way. And I got sick of it and I asked for God's grace and I got clarity.
Oh, great.
And now I'm perfect. No, I'm just teasing. Okay.
Well, you're awfully close.
Okay, so ignorance of Scripture,
yeah.
over-attachment to the goods of relationship.
Yeah.
And fear of loss.
Yes, right.
Fear of what we talked about, fear of loss of good standing, loss of affection, maybe loss of the whole relationship. So we prostitute ourselves in a certain sense. We keep our mouth shut and we allow the other person to skip merrily down to hell in some cases.
Wow. That's very helpful. 888-318-7884, our number. Let's go to Mansfield, Texas, listening on 910 AM. Alexandria in Mansfield, Texas. Glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, Rose.
Hi, Alexandria.
So I don't have a problem with, I guess, setting boundaries with my husband and my children. My problem is friendship. And I've known this person since middle school, and I saw her transition from first being confused and bisexual, then lesbian. And I've always been, you know, her supportive friend, and I was lost as well. And I just recently came back to the Catholic faith this November, and her and I, we've kind of been straying away, and I've been avoiding the talk of me not being okay going to these clubs that we used to go to or going to go play gay bingo, transvestite shows.
Right, right.
I always need a way to say how I was busy because I didn't want to have that uncomfortable talk to where she was just going to shot me back with that I was being judgmental or that I was now in a hate type of religion or something.
Right. And So you're afraid of her rejecting you, right?
Right.
Okay. So here's you want to come to a place where you invite her in this process. I did the same thing with my friends who went down that path, and I said, "Look," and I use what I call the Oreo approach. Oreo is two outside things, and then a middle thing in the middle, right? And so you start out with something good and loving, you end out with something good and loving, but in the middle is where you deliver your blow, as it were. And I said, I love you, and I love our friendship, and I never want to lose it. But I can't stand your lifestyle, and I can't live in it. I just can't. And I hope you'll accept that about me. So what that looks like for me is, let's go to lunch, let's go to dinner, let's go to Disneyland, whatever, but I can't go to the clubs and I can't go to other gay events where it looks like I'm promoting it. This is a tough topic. I'm open to your input, but please be assured of my love. I want to keep this relationship in any way I can that doesn't violate either of us. So you began with love, you end with love, but you tell her this is what I can do and this is what I can't do, and now it's up to her. And you have to be trusting enough in God and sure enough of yourself, even though you don't feel like it, to be willing to lose the friendship for at least a while and maybe forever. But you deliver the truth in love. And I've done this, and I kept about half of those relationships, and the others, they chose not to. And you mourn it, and you grieve it, and you pray for them, and you move on. Does that help? I'm going to pray for you, because this is tough. This is tough stuff. This is not little fluffy stuff here we're talking about. This is faith in action.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. It's I'm sure many people are praying for you. And I think many people have that the same kind of boundary, if I may say. Alexandria's case is, of course, unique to her. But it does seem like the moral innovations of the modern world are driving people apart. And there's a lot of people that demand that you get on board with this movement. The movement is this now. And if you're not on board, like I see young, this is something I see, Rose, that really actually bothers me. And at some point I'll say something to some of these young people if I know them. But these young people who will post posts online about which words you're supposed to use and which words you're not supposed to use. And I feel like I want to say to them, nobody put you in charge of what words they use. Like nobody asked you to do that job. So don't do that job. But they all feel so afraid that they're going to use the, you know, oh, we used to say transgendered and now we say transgender. We don't. Okay. So, and that's really important to some people, but I don't say either of those things, you know, like I say something else. That's none of your business. But I feel like there, a lot of people, there are bound. I guess there's an excess of boundaries now, in a certain sense.
Well, they're trying to hold everybody hostage.
Yeah, you're I'm not your hostage. Okay. I can say whatever I want.
But a 2-year-old can hold you hostage.
Yeah, right.
A 50-year-old can hold you hostage. Anybody can hold you hostage if you are afraid of looking bad, of being rejected, of losing your job.
Oh yeah, right.
Of hard work, of all kinds of the things that we're attached to and afraid of losing. But when we give in to that, we violate our own self. Sometimes we violate the other person. We violate our faith, all to keep peace or to keep friendship or to be cool or woke,
yeah,
whatever
right.
it is. And this, we are in a bad time in our world.
Yeah.
And you're right. We are being forced to set and enforce boundaries. And that means we're going to lose goods.
Yeah,
we're going to lose freedoms. We're going to lose friendships, relationships, but we cannot betray our principles because of people.
Yeah, that's okay. All right. Fair enough. Alexandria, I hope it was helpful to you. Thank you very, very much for the call. Talking about setting boundaries as a Christian person with our good friend and guest, Rose Sweet. We go now all the way over to Indianapolis now in Indiana, listening on the EWTN app. Patrick in Indiana, go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. So, I kind of sum up the backstory quickly. My wife and I separated last October for about a month, 6 weeks or so. We reconciled our marriage. We dived super deeply back into our faith, which has helped tremendously. But because of that situation and kind of reconciling and getting back into our faith, my in-laws, my wife's, you know, brothers and their spouses essentially have shunned us from the family. Like, they don't talk to us anytime we have family gatherings. No one engages in conversation. You know, we always teach our children to, you know, turn the other cheek, essentially, take the high road. So my question is how to navigate that moving forward. And I think part of the reason why they're acting the way they're acting is, in my opinion, their family is super enmeshed to an unhealthy level where they don't have boundaries with each other.
Yes.
And now that we're enforcing boundaries, it's becoming an issue.
Yes, Patrick, you're exactly right. The minute you start to enforce boundaries where you haven't previously, you're changing the rules and you're changing up the dance, and you will get pushback on that. That's to be expected. That's, again, where you have to, you know, tread lightly, but stick to your principles and allow people to make their own choice. If they shun you, you can't go force yourself on them. And again, here's boundaries that they're setting that are unhealthy. They're meant to hurt you and control you. So those are boundaries. Those are setting big block walls and locking doors against you unless you follow their rules that are unloving and unhealthy and sinful. So boundaries can be used in a sinful way, but God himself is the one who sets and enforces boundaries that are good and loving. So you guys have a decision to make. What's more important to you, your principles and your marriage and taking the high path, or, you know, caving in any way, but you might not have to cave in. If you can get together with your family, but when the topic comes up, if you're being criticized or attacked or whatever, you have to address that. So just keep taking the high path together. I don't even think I addressed anything specific in that. I hear the music coming up.
You want to hold
yeah,
it up?
Yeah, hang on, Patrick.
Hang on, Patrick. We'll be right back. We're talking with Rose Sweet about setting boundaries as a Christian. Where is it a violation of charity? Where is it a requirement of justice to have these boundaries? We're right back with more.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kids' soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest is Rose Sweet. On the line is Patrick in Indianapolis. You're welcome to call with your questions, 888-318-7884, as we talk about setting boundaries as a Christian. I think the premise here is that in many ways, tell me if I have the premise correct, but in many ways as Christians, we have all this imagery of being given away to other people and living charity. And even, you know, John Paul again and again telling us live for others and all of that. But does that contradict the idea that sometimes I have to say no? You know, sometimes I have to have a line. And it doesn't. Those two are not contradictory.
I think what happens is because our natural tendency is to selfishness, the Christian message is constantly saying, be unselfish, be unselfish, be unselfish, give, 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 give.
Right.
But even Jesus didn't do that. When he got tired at the end of the day and couldn't heal one more person,
yeah.
He was done. He got in a boat. He said sayonara to his friends, and he got away.
That is not even close to Aramaic. That's not even... There's no sayonara
in
Aramaic.
That may be true for you, but that's how I interpret it.
Sayonara. That may be true for you. Oh, now you're going to be a relativist. Okay, so Patrick in Indianapolis, he's talking about he and his wife struggling with the boundaries with a family that is, he said, enmeshed. And that's a very powerful word, but he seemed accurate in using that word.
Patrick, you know, families want to pull you back into the old system. I mean, this is how we are. And sometimes to move out and do your own thing is very scary for everybody. And there will be an attempt to pull you back in. So the important thing is that you and your wife talk about it. What do you think is right? What do you want to do?
You know, and for us, it's we know we're on the right path with our faith. And the other kind of twist of this is my in-laws are not very religious. They call themselves Catholics, but not in any understanding of the true sense of being a practicing Catholic. So when we do, we'll break away and we'll do family prayer before bedtime with the kiddos. There's always these, you know, comments or, you know, and these little, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just these little off-mark comments about how we are living our life or choosing our life to follow the disciple of Christ.
Okay.
Is it appropriate to push back on that? Like, yes, we are. We're proud of it.
Okay.
Or should we just kind of leave it alone?
Here's the thing. You can't control how people see you or think about you, but you certainly can control the comments that they make to you in person. This is called contempt. This is criticism. And these are part of the four horsemen of the apocalypse that Dr. John Gottman of the Gottman Institute, many Catholic parishes use his program. This is a horrible thing to have in a relationship. It's like a child rolling his eyes at you. That's contemptuous.
Yeah.
And going, ugh, whatever. That's contempt. And God does not tolerate that. And neither should you. But you, again, like I did with the nail polish out the window, without passion and swiftly, excuse me, that was very disrespectful. My wife and I are doing the best we can. Is there anything else you would like to comment now? Because that was very disrespectful, and I don't appreciate that. And if you continue it, I'm going to ask you to leave, or we're going to leave. I mean, you know, I'm just fast-forwarding a little bit. But yes, swiftly address it without over-emotion and very clearly and directly and with love. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely does.
And you, as the husband and father, that's your job to protect your marriage and protect your family from those little nasty barbs that come out of the mouth, even of our very closest loved ones. So you got your job, Patrick. Praying for you, brother.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick. I really, really appreciate that call. Rose Sweet, our guest, let's go to Angie now in Iowa, listening on 1150 AM. Angie, go ahead with your question for Rose.
So summer of 21, you know, good start. College kids are back home for the summer, and it's like, we're going to have a family meeting. We're all going to get off to a good start this summer, you know, work together, help out in the household, you know, team family. And then I guess I've been praying and thinking about this for a while and listening to all my good Catholic radio. And so I said it, we're going to go to church. We're going to expect everyone will be going to church this summer. So not only, you know, kind of post-pandemic and getting off the online church, but getting back in person.
Yeah.
And I must have really been on to something because I was amazed at the pushback from the very get-go. And there was something that your caller said that, you know, border, all of a sudden, this expectation of family, good summer, team family, best summer ever, turned into kind of like contempt.
Mm-hmm.
And turned into, no, we don't have to, we're adults. Might I say, living in my household for the summer with plenty of support in college and all things 21, 20-year-old you would expect. And As I step back, I realize I am onto something because what I am encountering is really anti something simple, peace, loving your betterment. And I was just shocked and kind of had to like prayerfully collect what all this was going on, but we're better right now. But I was surprised at how powerful it was met by my children and even my husband of 30 years.
So, Angie, I'm so happy to have you call with this because I know lots of parents are dealing with the same thing, kids coming back home for the summer. Did you just want a comment from Rose, or did you have a specific question you want to put to her?
You know, we hang on, and it kind of fell into the category of this is my circle of influence right now. And so just trying to be in the present and what I'm supposed to be doing with this family right now. And I am not one to really shy from the hard work. And I think I knew this was going to be hard, and I did it anyway. And it's still kind of the reflection of the summer of trying to did, oh, this is a question. How do you do these things and you're establishing boundaries and you're still trying to look as an inviting face and witness of Christ?
Oh, beautiful.
Without being a shrew and turning, I want you to go to church. And so then you have these angry little 20-year-olds going.
Yep.
And angrily receiving the Eucharist.
Okay, Angie, that's a great question. Thank you. Rose.
Well, this is great, and this is complex. First of all, are they coming into your home in the summer and living under your roof and eating your food and sleeping in your beds?
Absolutely, sister.
Okay, so because they are legal adults, you don't have that authority over them to make them do squat. But you do have the authority once somebody's under your roof to ask them to behave in such a way that is pleasing and respectful to you and give them the choice. If you can't do that, then you guys can stay next door or stay with your friends or stay at a hotel. In other words, God, if we look to Scripture, God actually, even He loves us, but He will withhold favor from us. He loves us, but He will still withhold favor from us. So they're getting your favor and your blessings and your food and your blankets and doing whatever they want that is hurtful to you, and they know it. So the part about their soul and how they relate to God, you're not responsible for that. You don't have to fix that or worry about how they get to Mass or what goes on between them and God at Mass. God doesn't hold you responsible. But you have every right to say, and I have done this with my own family, we are going to Mass, and if you don't want to do that, the Courtyard Marriott is right down the street, because this, you know, I'm not going to have a big discussion. I'm not going to have an argument. You know this is the most important thing to me, your mother, whether you do or not. And it grieves me. It grieves me that you are rejecting our Lord so deeply. That's how you say it, not in anger, not in shame, and not you better do this or do that. But wherever you have authority, wherever you have the choice to make it happen the way you want, you never know how 10 years from now somebody will be on this radio and go, my mom kicked us out.
Right.
I thought she was a shrew, but right. It was the best thing she ever did, because now we are allowing God to enter into that situation, and we're cooperating with Him. And guess what? It is hard when your kids hate you and when they call you names. It's horrible. But now you're on the cross with Jesus. That is Christian living, not necessarily being nice and letting people disrespect you. That's not Christian. Being on the cross and losing those friendships and losing those relationships because you stuck to the truth. That's the Christian life.
Angie, I'm going to leave it there, because we do have to take a break. And it also, I think you got what you needed from Rose. I would like to send you a copy, because I mean, listening to you as a mom, part of the reason that I wrote this book, A Teacher of Strange Things About Jesus, was so that parents would have something that they might leave around the house that the kids might accidentally pick up or could put in the hands of their kids, because what you want for them is that relationship with Jesus. That's what we all want for our children. So if you want to hang on the line and give us your address, I'll send you a copy of A Teacher of Strange Things, and you can do with it what you like. Maybe it'll just give you a little bit of a peaceful reading for the summer yourself, but it also might be something that you want to share with your kids. We'll take a quick break. We might be right back with more Setting Boundaries in a Christian Way with our good friend Rose Sweet.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Unplanned, the true story of Abby Johnson.
I would be the youngest director in Planned Parenthood history.
She believed in a woman's right to choose.
I've had an abortion myself, so I don't have any problem with another woman making the same decision.
Until the day she saw something that changed everything.
Tiny, perfect little baby. And then it was just gone.
Now she's pulling back the curtain on the abortion industry. Unplanned.
Available at EWTNRC.com and the EWTN app.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's always nice when Rose is here on a Monday, get us started really well. It's great when she's here on a Friday, kind of close the week really well. I like it when she's here on a Wednesday, kind of get us over the midweek. Glad you're here, Rose.
Thank you, Si.
Our number is 888-318-7884. You want to talk about setting some boundaries? You want to start talk about doing so in a Christian way? You are welcome to call 888-318-7884. I forgot our number. Four. Okay. It is definitely Monday. I'm sorry, Rose. I get nervous when you're here. So how'd you come to all this boundary stuff? How'd you come to this where you...
Well, because I struggled in my own relationships, and I found myself angry and feeling victimized, and so I started reading every self-help book I ever could back in the day. And, you know, and I hate to even mention this one... He's a Catholic psychologist. He is... Even though he's Italian, he's pretty good.
That's not right. You can't say things like that.
No, listen. No. Hear me out.
We're not doing that.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, yeah. Who I know you've had on this show,
yeah.
He writes the best books about relationships and boundaries and whatnot. And I love this quote that's in his latest book. Discipline is not tough love. Discipline is love.
Oh, yeah.
Discipline is not tough love. We don't have to be mean and tough to discipline our children. Discipline is love. It's what God does to us to keep us from falling off the cliff and getting to heaven. So that's how I got so smart. I listened to Dr. Ray.
Now, I just want to ask you real quick. When you're on Dr. Ray's show, do you say, I got so smart from hanging out with Psych Kellett?
No.
Or that doesn't ever come up. Never. Okay.
No,
I just want to be clear about that.
No, but you are younger. You're younger.
You don't have to say anything else. I'll say that's enough.
I feel rejected.
You've done the damage now. let's go to Ray. Oh, Ray in Ohio. Ray, you there with us?
When Rose said that you can't make snarky remarks, that would cut out half of my vocabulary.
That's Dr. Ray.
What? This is Dr. Ray Guarendi. We were just talking about you.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Rose, I can't sue you for plagiarism. I can't, because you say these things without writing them down. But I just keep hearing me echoing through your words.
You know, Dr. Ray, there's nothing new under the sun. Don't you ever read your Bible? I mean, come on, man.
Rose, you are delightful. You know what? On your call screamer, I kind of said, hi, this is Dr. Ray. And basically, in so many words, she said, so what?
Well, can I just tell you something? And I don't know if it's appropriate to say this. She's 6 months pregnant.
Aww.
I had to beg her. I had to say, well, I'd love to get on with Rose. And she said, well, okay, we'll put you in line. And I wanted to pay her. I said, I'll give you $50. What do I got to do here?
Oh, we'll take the $50.
See,
all right, good job, Marie.
You can negotiate a boundary.
Yeah.
You can negotiate.
You know, that's funny. Dr. Ray, you have this new book out, Jesus, Master Psychologist. And then the only book I know with an imperative for the subtitle, Listen to Him. and I was hearing you talking about it with Father Mitch Packer the other day. I think you've had an effect on many people, but with this, I mean, Rose is certainly a superstar, but I think you've had a great effect on many people. I would put it this way. You're a professional psychologist, a man of science who doesn't put any of it to the side. It doesn't put faith to the side in order to cater to what other psychologists are saying and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, doctor.
Well, when you get to be my age, and by the way, today is my birthday, and my cake had 60-some candles on it, and that was the piece I had.
Well, happy birthday, geezer. Yeah, that's great.
Interestingly enough, Rose, my question, they wanted a question that I had to give to get on the air.
Okay.
And my question was, for Rose, what is the biggest boundary? I think it's the Pacific Ocean.
Well, that
probably
that is the biggest boundary. The equator, I could cross over that, but I can't cross over the ocean. That's for sure.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
You're a delight,
Rose,
too.
You and I go way, way back. I was in kindergarten. You were a senior. I remember that. And
that's not true either.
Call screamer, you did a bad job today.
Why'd you learn
I'm
through?
Sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
It's Rosie. I thought it was Marie. I'm sorry. So Rosie is not 6 months pregnant. I don't want to startle her mother in the other room. Sorry, Rosie.
Dr. Ray, you are a delight.
Well, Rose, and by the way, that was such a sweet text you sent me last night. It was so cute. I'm saying in bed, you know, my age, you get to bed at 8:30. I'm in my bunner slippers and my Afghan, and the text goes off. And my wife says, "Who's that?" And I said, "Oh, it's just some woman on the West Coast who's been stalking me."
That's right. Well, it's always good to hear from you, and I love your new book.
I don't want to take up your time, but you guys are all wonderful people. And behind the microphone, you are as sweet as you are on the microphone, that's for sure.
Thank you, Ray. I sure appreciate that. Love you, man.
Thank you.
All right, guys.
Thank you.
Thank
you, Dr. Ray. Thanks for calling. His new book is called Jesus, the Master Psychologist. Listen to him. And
Mary said, do what he tells you.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
Or else.
And he went on Father Mitch Pacwa's show to talk about it. Did not come on this program. I'm not saying, you know, there's no hard feelings or anything. I'm just saying he did a great job on Father Mitch Pacwa's show. Anonymous caller next for Rose. Anonymous, thank you so much for your question. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, Rose. I wanted to get your opinion on for those that are married, what is the boundary for hanging out with the opposite sex? So, for example, out of respect for my wife, I would not go out to dinner with a female friend or just one-on-one or even, I don't know, to a bar for drinks. So what is your take on that? Does it change if it's like a group setting? Let's say you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, you know what? Marriage is a very delicate and beautiful relationship that should always be protected. And it's the responsibility primarily falls on the shoulders of the man to take leadership in the protection of that. So, good. I love that you won't let yourself go out, you know, with a single woman or another woman by yourself. And it's not out of fear. It's not, something bad might happen. No, it's out of respect. So, you know, if you went out with a 80-year-old woman who was your neighbor down the street, you know, that's a different thing. If you went out with, you know, somebody else, your sister, whatever, each relationship is different. Every circumstance is different. But if you have any feeling or any inkling at all, then when in doubt, don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very smart. And it's not a matter of living in fear. It's a matter of living in respect.
Anonymous, thank you. That's a very respectful question that you asked, and I think your wife is very blessed to have you for a husband. Let's go to Brian now, Spokane, Washington, listening on 100.7 FM. Thank you for your call. Brian, go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Rose. I've got kind of a situation with our family and my wife. She's become kind of depressed. She and her family, when I first met them, were very close. Unfortunately, you know, she helped her mom with starting her business that became uber successful. And during that time, her brothers have pretty much pushed her out of the business and the family and lied about her relationship with her brothers and family. And it's really pushed them apart to the point where they hardly talk at all. And we're really struggling with how to try to mend that relationship if possible. I mean, they've not said they're sorry or asked for any forgiveness or anything of that nature. We've forgiven them in our hearts, but we just don't want to pursue that unhealthy relationship. And just want to get, you know, a Christian view of how besides, you know, prayer, how can we in a worldly way try to repair that relationship? I mean, it's pretty deep. I mean, to the point where, you know, we believe in, you know, we have 9 kids, we've adopted 5, and we try to be, you know, equal with them. I mean, no kids are equal, but, you know, you try to do that, and, you know, her mom has allowed this to kind of happen to the tune of, you know, her brothers receiving due to the lies, millions of dollars. We haven't received anything, and we're blessed. I mean, we're blessed. We're totally content, but there's deep scars in my wife's emotional state, honestly. I mean, you know, every holidays, you have memories of great times, and there's just no relationship there, and it's really sad. So I just don't know how to, as the head of our family, try to maneuver.
Okay. Let's let Rose give you some insight on that. Thank you.
Okay, Brian, I'm sorry for all that. It is very painful, but you cannot mend a relationship by yourself. Nobody can mend a relationship by themselves. You've taken, it sounds like, the very first beautiful steps of recognizing this is a violation and going in your heart to forgive the person. And now you have to decide, can you be in the same room with them? Can you be in a relationship? And if they've already said no, the next step is you do two things. You give it time and you trust God. And you go without the relationship. You go without the goods and the past and the memories that you had, and you grieve over them. This is part of the process of setting and enforcing boundaries. When we do lose the friendship or we do lose some of the goods of the relationship, we have to grieve. And we don't grieve well in our culture. I'm going to throw this in because I use it all the time with my clients. St. Thomas Aquinas has 5 remedies for sorrow. And he encourages you to Google those and find out about them. It's a good way to grieve the loss of what you had, of what you hoped for, of what you would still love to have. But you have to move on, not forget them, and not with bitterness, but go about your life and keep the door open and give it time and trust God.
Brian, let me just check back with you. Is that helpful to you?
Very helpful, yes. Thank you so much.
Yep.
God bless you, brother.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Brian. Can I give you a question from off the air, Rose?
Yes.
A gentleman from Pahrump, which is in Nevada, says in 1987 he was walking on a highway in Nevada and was hit by a bottle of...
I know where this is going.
He was hit by a bottle
of... Stop.
Don't
stop. I'm setting a boundary.
Okay. That's fine. I respect your boundaries because I am afraid of you. Why is it that I'm afraid of you and you're not afraid of me? That doesn't seem like... What?
You know that I'll follow through. I know you won't.
Rose Sweet is our guest. We're talking about setting boundaries in a Christian way. Rose, first of all, because it's going to get late here in a second, okay. Where can people reach out to you, find out about what you do?
RoseSweet.com. I love to bring our Catholic principles into your daily details. And I'm a certified life coach, and I will help you set and enforce those boundaries in any way we can. So you can be like Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus did set boundaries. I mean, that's kind of where you started, was that the God of the scriptures. I don't suppose anyone would think, wow, the God of the Old Testament, he never set a good boundary. I mean, he's setting boundaries all over the place.
Right.
But then we began by you saying, we kind of think that Jesus is like a different God or something, and he didn't set any boundaries. And that is just not true.
It's because we want him to be a permissive parent. Because we still are ourselves emotionally immature and wanting a God who will take us to Disneyland and not make anything difficult for us. And that's normal. Kids are like that. But that's where grace is, and St. Paul says this a lot, you know, we have to get past the milk and the pablum,
right,
and begin to grow up and to get meat. And this is the meat of our faith that we've been talking about today. And thank you, Catholic Answers.
Well, thank you, Rose. We're always happy when you come. You're going to come again, right, sometime this summer?
I would love to. Before the conference?
And we'll see you at the conference, yes.
Oh, God, I love that conference.
Do you know the website if people want to come?
It's Catholic.com.
No, well, yeah, you can go there and you'll find the conference, but you can also just go to CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Oh, but mine was shorter.
Yes, yours was. I'm going to learn to set boundaries, Rose. I'm going to learn to set boundaries. Tomorrow, we got 2 hours of open forum. Trent will be here for one of those hours. Tim Staples will be here for one of those hours. So that is going to be a great one. We'll see you then, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live. Thank you, Rose Sweet.
Thank you, Si.